One of the truths that I have been trying to share with you throughout this sermon series on giving is the fact that we cannot outgive God. He is faithful. We sang about that this morning in one of the songs. The fact that God is faithful. As we give to Him, He will give back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And there are stories in the Bible that illustrate the truth of this point. One of those stories is in 1 Kings chapter 17. The land of Israel was in the midst of a drought. Elijah was not a very popular person at this time with the king because he's the one who has predicted the drought. 3 years and 6 months was how long this drought was to last. Now, I want you to think about that. We've just come through the month of June and the month of July where there was little to no rain at all, and we were able to see the effects of that, how things were just burning up all around us. Can you even begin to imagine? I don't think you can. I can't imagine what the environment would be like if there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And that's what these people were dealing with in this time. In the early part of this drought, God has instructed Elijah to go east of the Jordan River, and there he would be taken care of. For a while, there was a brook that had not yet dried up. And from that brook, Elijah is able to get his drinking water. And the ravens, you may remember, were bringing him his food. You've heard of meals on wheels. This is meals on wings. And God was taking care of Elijah. But the time came that the brook dried up. And at that point, then God has another set of instructions for Elijah. He says, I want you to go to the land of Zarephath. And I looked on a map this last week. Zarephath was pretty far north of Israel alongside the Mediterranean Sea. And God is saying to Elijah, there, I will take care of you through a widow woman. She will provide you with food. And so Elijah obeys God. He goes to the land of Zarephath. And as he arrives in this vicinity, it's very interesting to me, he sees this woman whose God is appointed to be his caretaker. She's out picking up sticks. And she's going to make a fire. Her intentions were to take the last bit of flour that she has left and the last bit of oil that she has in a jar, and she's going to mix that together. She's going to make bread cakes from what she has, and this is going to be her last meal for her and her son. That's how depleted she was with her resources. When Elijah sees her, he asks her to share with him some of her bread. Verses 10 and 11, he says, please give me a drink of water and a piece of bread that is in your hand. She answered him, as the Lord lives, this is the last meal for my son and I. We will eat it and then we will die. In other words, I don't have enough to share with you, Elijah. This is all I've got. This that is in my hands. This is our last meal. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. Elijah says to her, give me a piece of bread first and God will take care of you. Verse 14 of that chapter, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Verses 15 and 16 of that chapter says, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. This was a great miracle. And I think God is still in the business of doing miracles today, even in our finances. If we will trust Him, if we put Him first in our finances, then He will prove Himself faithful to us. He will not and cannot be outgiven. He is an amazing God. There is no God like our God. This is actually the last sermon in this series, which I have entitled Desperate to Give. And today, I want to simply share with you some points that I hope will be helpful to you in your generosity. And the first point is this. The tithe is a good place to start in your giving. The word tithe means one-tenth. It comes from a Hebrew word, mahaseah. Mahaseah. The giving of the tithe is a very biblical teaching. This is not something that has been my thought or the thought of the elders here that we've come up with here at Reinhardt. No, this is a very biblical teaching. In fact, the very first occasion or example of someone tithing goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham is tithing to the priest Melchizedek. And keep in mind, that was before the law of Moses was in effect. Later, under the law, the tithe was commanded. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Verse 32, "For every tenth part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." Keep in mind, Israel was an agricultural society. And so not only were the people tithing with their money, they were also tithing off of their crops and their fruit and their herds and their flocks of sheep. One-tenth belonged to God. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops." Again, this is a teaching that is prevalent throughout the Old Testament. 33 times the word mahaseah appears. And probably the most well-known of all of these verses about the tithe is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." This verse from Malachi 3 is a verse that I've referenced a few times in this series of sermons, and it is a command to God's people that they bring the tithe into the house of the Lord, which I think is a picture of the local church in the New Testament. And God's promise is this: if you will do your part, if you will bring to me your first fruits, if you will bring to me your tithe, then I will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing for you until it overflows. Just yesterday, as I was looking at this sermon, preparing it in my mind to deliver, it dawned on me there is another place in Scripture that the phrase, "the windows of heaven will be opened up." Do you know where that is? Are you thinking about where that other passage of Scripture is about the windows of heaven? You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 7, the flood of Noah, where the windows of heaven were opened up. And what happened? You talk about a deluge. You talk about a pouring down, in this case, of rain. But in Malachi, he says, I will open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour down upon you. I will bring a deluge upon you of blessings until it overflows. Wow. What a promise. I'll say it again. You cannot outgive God. This is the only place in Scripture where God says, test me. Let me prove myself to you in this promise. Someone might say, well, Kevin, it sounds to me so far what all you've said Scripture-wise, it's from the Old Testament. That's Old Testament stuff. Is the tithe taught in the New Testament? Good question. Actually, Jesus commended the tithe. In Matthew 23, and I think I had that scripture that Scott might be able to put that on the board. There it is. You can read it as I'm talking to you. Jesus is in the middle of a rebuke to the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, but in the same breath, he commends them because they were adhering to tithing. And so, yes, Jesus, even himself, is commending the tithe in the New Testament scriptures. There may be some of you, as I'm speaking this truth to you this morning, there may be some of you that are freaking out at this thought of giving away 10% of your income. You may be saying something like this, you've got to be kidding me. In order for me to do that, I'd have to totally and completely rearrange my life around God. Yeah. And that's the point. That's the point exactly. That we would totally and completely rearrange our life around God. Somebody else might say, Kevin, that would take such great faith for me to do that. And again, that is the point. That is the point as well, that we would step out on faith and that we would put Him first in our life, that we would put Him first in our finances. Then that opens the door for God to fulfill His promise in pouring His blessings out upon us until they overflow. And so the first point is, it all starts. This is where it should start, with the tithe. Let me give to you a second point. When it comes to giving, desire is better than duty. Would you say that with me? When it comes to giving, desire is better than duty. Now think about what I'm getting at there. This really is the difference between Old Testament giving and New Testament giving. In the Old Testament, it was commanded for God's people to tithe. In the New Testament, the emphasis is more that we should want to give to God. Instead of, I have to give, it's more, I want to give. And the motivation behind our want to is that Jesus has given Himself for us. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Now keep in mind, that passage of Scripture sounds like it's talking about money, but it's talking about so much more than money there. He who was rich in the splendor of heaven, that was His home, that was His existence. He was in heaven and He left the splendor of heaven to come here. He left the riches of heaven to become poor, to become here, to become a human being, to become one of us. And what did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. He gave up himself. There's no greater gift that has ever been given than that. God's grace, Jesus' grace, should move us to want to give back to him. Think about all that he has done for us. He suffered and died for us. He redeemed us from sin and the penalty of sin, which is death. He has given to us the hope of heaven, the promise of heaven, praise the Lord. And his great love should motivate us to want to give back to him. First, we give ourselves to him. And as we give ourselves to him, then everything else follows, including our pocketbook. How could we hold back from him when he has given so much to us? The amount, hear me say this, the amount that we give is not stressed so much in the New Testament as the manner in which we give. We are to give cheerfully, not under compulsion. Our attitude should be correct. Let me give to you a third point. If there's any rule in the New Testament of how much we should give, it's this: it's as we have prospered. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, what? As he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Now, if you're reading from the New International Version, it says it this way: in keeping with your income. It says each one of you on the first day of the week should lay aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. The Good News Bible says it this way: in proportion to what you have earned. In other words, the Good News Bible is saying this: each one of you on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, this is the Lord's day, this is the day that we worship because of the resurrection of Jesus. You remember, prior to this time, they have worshiped God on Saturday. That was the Sabbath. But once Jesus raised from the dead, the worship day changed from Saturday to Sunday. And so Paul is writing to the church, and he says, on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside a portion of your income in proportion as to what you have earned. That's the rule. That's pretty clear. And what Paul is saying is this: the person who makes more, what? Gives more. The person who makes less is going to give less. I think if we have an open heart and an open ear to God, he will lead us in what we should give. And he will lead us to be generous in our giving. You remember the widow who gave one penny in Mark chapter 12. According to Jesus, she gave generously because she didn't have anything to draw from. The Pharisees, though, on the other hand, they had given a larger gift. You remember, there was that kind of parade of people coming by. Jesus is sitting there on a chair, and he's watching as people are putting their money into a box, and he sees the widow woman gives one penny, and he commends her for her generosity. The Pharisees, they come by, and they had put in a large amount, but he got after them. He got after them because they had not given as they had been prospered. Here's a fourth point that will help you in your generosity. Plan your generosity. Again, 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save. It sounds to me like a plan. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. In other words, what you have planned ahead of time. Again, based on what you have coming in. Based on your thinking of what God has done for you. How, not just spiritually, but how has He prospered you? How has He taken care of you and met your needs? You come up with a plan for giving based on those points. You are meditating, you are thinking, you are praying, you are looking to God for leading in this matter of giving. You are taking it seriously, and you and your spouse, if that is the case, or you individually, the Holy Spirit leading you, you come up with a plan for your giving, and then you execute the plan. I was reading a sermon from a preacher who was talking about planned giving, and he told about a couple in his church who had grasped this idea, and I thought, wow, this is worth sharing with you. This couple, they started with a tithe, and I just want to encourage you, that's where we start, whether it's just a small amount or a larger amount. You tithe off of your income. And that's what this couple did. They started with the tithe, and they gave that to their local church. But then here's what I thought was pretty cool. Above their tithe, they dedicated $20 a month to give and be a blessing to someone else. And they were smart too, in that they bought a notebook that they could write all of their stories in and recall them as the years went by. And so the preacher's sharing this from their experience. Apparently they've shared their testimony, they've shared their story with him, and he's passing it on as a challenge to his church family. First month, the very first month that they had this $20 bill dedicated to blessing someone, there were tornadoes that had hit in the area, and so they had given this $20 to an organization to help with that need. The next month, there was a mom in line at the grocery store who came up short of money. And they were prepared to help her because they had dedicated, they had planned ahead to have a $20 bill to help someone. And they're praying, God, open our eyes, help us to see. And so they helped this mom in line at the grocery store who was short of money. The next month, you getting the idea of what's happening? The next month, it's summertime, it's baseball season. One of the young boys on their kids' baseball team didn't have money to buy a uniform. And hey, we can help with that. And they gave $20 towards the expense of this boy's uniform. And every month, there was something that God was opening their eyes to. And can you imagine the stories over a long period of time? Can you imagine the fun of giving in this kind of scenario? And all glory to God and to the building up of His kingdom and to the love of our fellow man. That's there. God was opening their eyes to give to people who were in need. And the preacher is saying, you know, that was a long time ago that this couple started that. And they don't give $20 a month anymore. He said now they're given $200 a month over their tithe, because God had blessed them and brought them to that point that they could do that. Can you imagine the stories that they could tell? They planned to be generous. And someone might sure say this, Kevin, I can't do that much. I can't even think about giving $200 over a tithe. That's not the point of the story. I'm not after that with you. I'm just saying, come up with a plan. What can you do? Could you do 10? Could you do 5? And see what God would do with you and through you and for someone else? I have to say, this is one thing Cindy and I have not done real well at, as far as having extra money to give to individuals who, on the spur of the moment, in a time of need. But what we have done is, over and above our giving to the local church, we have ministries that we are just in love with, of what they are doing in the name of Jesus, and we give to ministries besides this church. Planned giving. You open your heart to God and you say, God, what would you have me to do in this area of giving? And I bet he'll answer that question. He'll use you. Let me give to you one final point to help you be more generous. And the point is this: start now. Start now. Don't wait until tomorrow before you start being generous. Don't wait until you can afford to be generous. Start now as you step out on faith and know that He is going to take care of you. There's a verse out of Philemon. I don't know that I've ever preached out of the book of Philemon, and I found this verse in reference to this idea of starting now. Philemon verse 6 says, and this is Paul writing, he says, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. Think about that. Well, you read that verse and just let it sink in. I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. In other words, Paul is saying, start now. Put this into action. And the stories will start to accumulate. And all glory to God and to the building up of His kingdom. I want to thank you. First, let me say this. This series of sermons has not come to you because Reinhardt is in trouble financially. That is not the reason for five weeks of sermons on giving. I would dare say, I would almost bet that you have never in your life heard five sermons in a row on giving. And I will guarantee you, I have never preached five sermons in a row on giving. But I really felt like, as we're in this Desperate for God series, this umbrella series of 2020, being desperate for God, I felt like this is a sermon series that we need. That we need to hear. That we need to be desperate to give. Because oftentimes, this idea of giving, there's a tension, there's a struggle within of wanting to hold on to versus letting go of. And as we are desperate for Him, I think we will become more desperate to give, because this is His character. And there's been some points that I have tried to drive home for us through this series. The first point is, we cannot outgive Him. another point that we've tried to really emphasize is it's more blessed to give than to receive. I hope these are points that you've grabbed hold of, that you're letting God and His Spirit drive these points into your heart. A third point that I've tried to emphasize through this whole series of sermons is that our giving is a part of our discipleship. This is a part of our following Jesus. As we are His follower, we will have more of an open hand. And then another point that I've tried to bring home to you through this series is that our investment into the kingdom is an eternal investment. All these other investments, and I think Gary, this is the point he was making during the offering appeal today. These investments that we have here on this earth are all fading away. Our home, our cars, our trucks, everything here on this earth that we are investing our money into, it's all fading away. But this investment into the kingdom of God is one that will last forever. And we've got to get in on that investment. Let's pray together. Lord, help us in our want to. I am so thankful for the givers in this church. I'm so thankful that there are so many who have open hands. And that has been evidenced over and over again, even in these months past. And we've been able to give extra amounts to missionaries. And we've heard back from those missionaries, and they're saying, thank you, thank you. And so may we continue to have that number of givers grow, not so that we can have money in our coffers, but Lord, that we can give that money out to the kingdom. And more souls will be saved, more needs will be met, and all to your glory. And we will find the blessing of giving. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together.